KSRO Kitchen. I'm Steve Garner, and this is part two of a tribute I have prepared and put together over the last couple of weeks to my colleague and dear friend, Chef John Ash, who is, I think everyone that's listened to the show and reads newspapers or looks online knows that John passed away a few weeks ago. We founded our radio program in 1987, and part of that from the beginning was always including wine. As John used to like to say, wine, let's talk about wine. And it didn't come from 1987. It started a long way before. So I thought today we would do a tribute, a celebration to John's involvement in the wine business, bookending 50 years from the mid-1970s until his passing here in 2025. And to help me do that, I've rounded up some winemakers who were instrumental in working with John over those 50 years. Two of them are helping me anchor the show today, and they're with me, and that is winemakers Mary Edwards. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
And a guy you may not know, because he's a youngster, and his name is Dan Costa. Hello, Dan Costa.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Nice to have you this morning. So, Mary, we're starting with you because I think out of the all the winemakers we're going to talk to, you knew John the longest. When did John come into your life?
So, I moved up to Sonoma County in 1977 to go to work for a company that was redoing Russian River Vineyards. And the team that was put together was supposed to be myself to manage the vineyard and re-establish the winery, which was pretty run down. And then I didn't know John. He'd hired John to start the restaurant. And then a friend of mine from Berkeley, Don Baumhefner, was going to be the GM because they also wanted to build a hotel there. This was the grand plan.
And this was out in Forestville, California, isn't it?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. That's where Don lived, right, in Forestville. So I interviewed with the company in the Pyramid Building in San Francisco, the top suite, the very top floor, and thinking this is legit. It turned out when I moved up here and we were all together, then we realized we were working for not a good company.
Maybe an unethical company, possibly.
Yeah, and I believe we finally determined, and Don can correct me, but I believe it was a Taiwanese company, and mm-hmm. it was very shady. Mm-hmm. And so when we all got together, we went, "Oop, nope, we're gonna bail on this one." But that's when I already knew Don, but that's when I met John, and then I think he went off from there when that failed. That's when I met the people that were gonna start Matanzas Creek. I started with them.
Well, you started with Matanzas.
That's when I met them because I was going to source grapes from Cabernet from them for the Russian River project.
Okay.
Which, of course, never happened, but then they recruited me to start their own winery.
Which turned out to be?
Matanzas Creek.
Matanzas Creek.
And then John, I believe, went out to
Bodega.
Mm-hmm. And it was out there for a year or two,
Bodega Bay Harbor
yeah.
Club.
Yeah, and then the next...
And cooked out there and started kind of working with wine out
right.
there.
And nobody, he didn't, I don't believe he had any kind of a reputation before then.
No.
You know, he was starting from scratch. And then all of a sudden he started the restaurant in Montgomery Village. That's
well,
where the
first... Well, before Courthouse Cafe came before that.
Right.
Remember?
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Courthouse Cafe on 4th Street.
4th Street.
So he was brought into that also. And that was a good little creative part. But then some people came in and said, you know, we love what you're doing here. You ever thought about starting a restaurant?
Yeah.
Kind of that's the early germination. He goes, well, sure. Yeah. I'm just a cook. You know, you got the money. And some people said, well, you know, maybe we could get together a group and bring you into this.
I'd forgotten about that part.
So that's kind of how the Montgomery Village John Ash and Company happened with some people that really believed in his talents and wanted to have they said, we want a world-class restaurant here in Santa Rosa. And there were none that had this type of cross-section cooking, Asian cooking, Italian, California, what became California, and a wine list. They were really interested. And that's when we'll have our next guest on, and that's Don Baumhefner, to talk about those early years. But you continued working with John for the next 40 years.
Yeah, I mean, we had so much interaction and so many things we did together. It's just really this is a nice, I've just been thinking about him so much since he passed away, and just all of our crossovers and different auction lots we did together and different events. One particular one I can spend 1 minute on,
of course,
was he and Malcolm Clark, the founder of Gourmet Mushroom, who was a good friend of mine also, decided one day they wanted to do an all mushroom menu at my house in Forestville. So the two of them came over and we cooked this, you know, dinner that was went on for hours, and every single dish had mushrooms, including the dessert, which was made with the, I think they're called candy caramel.
Yes. Yes.
Mushrooms for the dessert. It was just like, so that I mean, and I did a lot of things with through the wine venues, like we did things with Gourmet Mushroom at their place, and John would come in, and I remember he'd do these little, I think they were part of, like, was it, what's that group, the Pinot group, that was local. Anyway, whatever, we you know, in the wine business, you give away so much, you do so many events. And so we did a lot of things together for different groups.
Yeah, fundraisers and all kinds of things.
Different fundraisers, yeah. And, oh my God, just, so he would, like, do things like, he came up with a little Chinese, like you get a takeout box, a little tiny,
yes,
and he would like do a whole little dish with, you know, little mushrooms sticking out of it and rice and shrimp and stuff, and just hand that out to people. Just so creative.
Yes, an artist's eye.
Oh my God.
Whatever he presented.
And such a sweet, gentle person, and funny. You know, just...
Yeah, I mean, if we would have aired everything he said off the air, we would have never lasted 38 years. It was pretty funny. And I know he was instrumental in developing his love of lifetime love of Sauvignon Blanc.
Yes, we did interact well on that note. We had a commonality there,
yeah,
right?
And of course, Pinot Noir, which we'll talk about your involvement. Of course, Dan Costa, too.
Yeah.
So we'll take a break. Thank you, Mary. And you and Dan will be staying with me here in the studio to talk with our next series of winemakers. It's our tribute celebration to the life of Chef John Ash. I'm Steve Garner, along with winemakers Dan Costa and Mary Edwards, joining me in the studio today.
At Paradise Pet Resort in Rohnert Park and Santa Rosa, your pets get more than just care. They get a vacation of their own. Dogs in daycare or boarding enjoy all-day play with no extra fees to join the fun. That's right, no hidden charges, just happy tails and wagging hearts. Our loving, attentive staff makes every pet feel at home, whether they're running in group play or relaxing on our radiant heated floors. Need grooming? We've got you covered with full-service grooming for dogs and cats. And it's not just pups. We offer small animal boarding, too, for your cats, birds, reptiles, bunnies, and more. Want to check in on your furry friend? No problem. Our live webcams let you watch the playtime from wherever you are. Stop by for a tour. We'd love to show you around. And remember, your first day of daycare is free. Choose Paradise Pet Resort, where your pets play, stay, and feel at home. Paradise Pet Resort, where tails wag and fun never ends.
Paradise Pet Resort.
Attention, have you racked up $10,000 or more in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by making minimum payments? With credit card debt reaching all-time highs, National Debt Relief is notifying consumers about significant debt relief options currently being made available to help those with overwhelming credit card debt. These options may reduce a large portion of credit card debt for those who qualify. You don't need to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan, and you may only have to pay back a fraction of what you owe, even if you have bad credit. National Debt Relief has already reduced the credit card debt for more than 550,000 consumers. So don't wait. If you owe $10,000, $20,000, or even $100,000 in credit card debt, you can now take advantage of this financial debt relief as the cost of living continues to skyrocket. To check what debt reduction you may qualify for, call 800-822-6611. That's 800-822-6611. Again, that's 800-822-6611.
Starting your own business can be challenging, but Exchange Bank is here to help. Hi, I'm Cameron Belvedere, Branch Manager at Exchange Bank, where we invest in Sonoma County. That means helping local businesses to get started and keep growing. A small business loan from Exchange Bank can make all the difference when you're getting a new business off the ground and as you meet the challenges along the way. Here's Alex Bowman from Bowman Sellers.
From business checking to merchant services and personalized loan support, Exchange Bank has everything I need in one place. Their online banking makes life way easier. And whether I'm expanding a service or just managing day-to-day operations, Exchange Bank is always there with a solution that works.
If you own or are starting a small business, Exchange Bank is here for you. Visit exchangebank.com for more information. Exchange Bank, investing in Sonoma County since 1890. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 643948. All loans are subject to credit approval.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the Chaos Auto Kitchen, I'm Steve Garner with a special salute to our dear colleague and friend, Chef John Ash, devoting this show to the wine portion of John's remarkable 50-year career, both here in Sonoma County, nationally and internationally. And we're welcoming a series of winemakers that worked closely with John over those 50 years. In the studio with me are Mary Edwards and Dan Costa. And we have another winemaker on the line. And Mary, we're going to have you do a little toast to this next guest, would you? And Dan, clink your glasses, please. And our listener, our guest can hear. Ah.
Cheers,
And with that, we welcome Don Baumhefner. Hello, Don.
Hi, Steve. Hello, Dan and Mary. And Steve, I wanted to congratulate you on the unbelievable longevity of your show with John. It just kept going and getting wonderful, and I really wanted to congratulate you on that before we do anything else.
That's very kind of you. Thank you. Don, we know you're a master of sparkling wine. Mary, would you describe what we've just clinked to?
Oh, this is a Mary Edwards 2011 Late Disgorged rosé, sparkling rosé.
Yeah, I wish you were here to sip this with us, Don.
I'll drink yours, Don. It's okay.
Dan will taste it for me.
Yeah. Well, and we have some funny stories to tell about that. Don, would you tell me when you first met John Ash and what your role was in the development of the restaurant?
Sure. There was the really important detail that we haven't talked about yet in the program is that when I was hired as terminal manager at Russian River Vineyards by this shady person, I hired my wife sitting next to me here of 56 years, and I hired her as the manager of the restaurant. And then she interviewed different chefs. John was actually a caterer in San Francisco at the time, and the final choice for chef job was between John and Mark Miller, who started those Southwest restaurants.
Oh, right.
But KK chose John because he was really nice and all the things you know about John, but he had this carrot, dough ornament carrot on his lapel, his corduroy sport jacket lapel, that was made by his wife Julie, and it was just a beautiful little carrot, and it was John's personality and the carrot that Kay hired John to be the chef at Russian River. And at Russian River, I mean, it was a pretty amazing month. We were open for a month. The guy just didn't realize what he had. He had Mary as the winemaker, and he had John as the chef. And after a month, the only thing that was missing was paychecks, and they never did pay us. We sued the guy and won our case, but never got a penny from the case. And then that's when John did go out to Bodega Harbor, but he went out there with Kay, and they cooked together in the kitchen all day for the dinners that they were making. And then Kay would take off her apron and put on a dress and go out and do the dining room with in the evening when it opened. So that's what they did before. And during that month, though, the important thing is that we had a group of customers, several doctors from Santa Rosa, George Smith, John Reed, and Ron Unzelman, who became future partners in the original John Ash and Company in Montgomery Village. But they first came out to Russian River to enjoy John's cooking there, and that was the first step on the way to the John Ash and Company restaurant in Montgomery Village.
Well, you had some wonderful innovations when you started at John Ash and Company, not only putting together a wine list that had never been seen in Sonoma County in 1980. Talk about that. And also another innovation that was a crazy idea, and that is, hey, why don't we also have a retail wine store right in the restaurant that people have to walk through into the restaurant? And I dined there in the early 80s, and it was wild. It was like nothing I'd ever seen before.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Another idea that we talked about when we were starting to rebuild the restaurant and redo it was, and I remember John saying this, you know, we really should have a takeout area where people who are working in downtown can come by and just grab something simple to take home for dinner. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And we all said, yeah, but it didn't make it through the concept stage. But getting back to the wine list, yeah, I saw a picture of by the wine by the glass board that we had in the wine bar there with 12 different things highlighted by Chateau St. Jean Robert Young Chardonnay for $3 a glass. And so times do change.
But you know, it's interesting. Another innovation you guys had was doing wines by the half glass. I had never seen that on a wine list.
Yeah, well, we just wanted to give everybody a chance to enjoy really wonderful wines instead of just the usual jug wine served by the glass in most restaurants. And we wanted people to have a different wine with each course, but not too much. So that's how we tried to do with the by-the-glass thing.
Yeah, and doing wine and food pairing classes. I remember those happening at the restaurant.
Yeah. Well, after on the nights when we weren't having the wine tasting or having dinner, Kay would come down and make desserts in the kitchen. I would get home and take care of our young son, and Kay would come down and bake all night in the kitchen in Montgomery Village. And then we would enjoy those. But then we'd also have our weekly wine tastings, blind tastings of 8 wines that, you know, we just sort of picked at random and had people do blind tastings. And that was a lot of fun. And I think a lot of people really enjoyed that and learned a lot during the time we were there in Montgomery Village.
Well, John was impressed me as being so adventurous with, well, as you mentioned, Mary, about wine and food pairing, that it wasn't meat and red and this thing. Goes, you know, why are these rules? There shouldn't be these rules. It's what do you like? What tastes good with the food? It seemed when we would do tastings on the show, he would say, well, do you like this or not? Well, I don't, because he said, no, do you like it or not, Steve? Well, not really. I mean, I know it's a great bottle, but I don't think it goes very well. He said, well, then that's the right response. So he didn't want to focus on the technical aspects. Well, those were, of course, Mary, your winemaker, Dan, your winemaker. But to the person ordering a glass of wine, they shouldn't have to feel intimidated by understanding the provenance of the wine.
Yeah, his spirit of adventure was always fun. You know, we'd always get new things coming in. I do remember the infamous moose dinner, where after a week of marinating, it never quite got chewy enough to eat. But, you know, that's just part of the process, I guess.
We received an email from a listener, actually, this weekend. I've received so many emails saying, the first time I ever had wine paired with crawfish was at John Ash and Company in the 1980s, and I'll never forget that. So, Dan, you and Don go back a ways, don't you?
We do, and I saw that you had invited Don on as well. I said, geez, I haven't. This is our little reunion on the radio, Don. This is so great because I'm just sitting here listening to all these wonderful stories, you know, of me standing on the shoulders of giants with John Ash and Mary Edwards, Don Baumhefner, everybody, right? And it's so much fun, but I did get a chance to, I started at John Ash and Company at the new location in 1990, the current location. And I, long story short, I kind of graduated to be wine director in the mid 90s, but I was 25 years old. And who the hell is a wine director at that age, right? So I was just telling Mary did not know that John Duffy, the owner, the majority owner of the restaurant at the time, brought you in. He said, what about Don Baumhefner? Let's bring Don in to help Dan out. And we worked together for a couple of years, right, Don?
Absolutely. And that was so much fun. And it was such an important thing because all the new wineries that were opening up at that time, their main task was to get their wine on the list at John Ash and Company. So every time we had our weekly wine tasting, we had, you know, this gigantic line of very hopeful aspirants bringing their new wines to the thing, and it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of really good times, but we made a lot of people disappointed.
Well, you were a very good bad cop. You were a wonderful bad cop. You could you could send people packing, and I say, I'll talk to you next week.
I love this story. It's a beautiful story. So, I mean, go ahead, Dan. Don, go ahead.
I did, and then we did the same thing with Michael Brown when he took over after you stopped doing the wine list.
That's right. It was wonderful because John, in the context of John Ash created this culture. Don was actually my true mentor in all of this. So this is a wonderful hour. This is an honor to be here.
And then Michael Brown came aboard, who eventually became your partner, Dan, in Costa Brown Winery, which just blew up everything in the Pinot Noir world.
Again, behind Mary Edwards. She plowed the path.
Yeah.
And here we are. We wouldn't be here without people like Mary. So
yeah. But you and
Mary, I wanted to say one thing. I had a bottle of your 1977 Mount Eden Pinot Noir earlier this year downtown at a Bouchon restaurant here in Santa Barbara. And it was absolutely fantastic. Oh. Lively, fresh, complex, really wonderful.
Oh, well, thanks for sharing that with me. That's so awesome. I mean, I always thought I made wines to age, but that's a really nice thing to hear, that it's actually true what I'm saying.
I have one more bottle of it. I'll save that one for next year.
Oh.
The kismet that happened that Michael Brown came aboard. Was he a waiter at John Ash and Company?
Yeah, I think Michael Brown started there in 1992, and we always did everything there. And that was the culture of that restaurant. Was if you wanted to go collect a paycheck and go to college and, you know, just work for the night, that probably wasn't the place, because there was so much passion at that restaurant, whether it was bussing tables or waiting tables, bartending, and then wine direction. Michael and I really shared that passion. That's what brought us together. And then we started making wine in 1997 while working there.
Well, you're starting with putting aside some money from your paychecks.
We don't, like Don, we didn't get paychecks. We maybe got tips.
But that seed money led to people being attracted to what you got, you boys.
Yeah,
we're trying to do and getting some investors, and it started that small with a barrel of wine or something.
Yeah, $1,000 about.
With $1,000,
yeah.
So had you not met a John Ash and Company, who knows where it would have gone?
It's like a college. The who's who has gone in and out of John Ash, whether it's front of the house or back of the house, mm-hmm. And even to this day, it's still this stalwart in the Russian River Valley. So, and back in the day, I mean, that was the only place to get a real deep wine list. Don, I think we had probably 800 selections on there, including Bordeaux, Burgundy, Italian. Couldn't find that in Sonoma County for sure.
Quite a few, yeah. And even when we started at Russian River Vineyards, we had, you know, 7 different wines by the glass. And I had Romani Conti Monrachet on the list. And then when we started in Montgomery Village, I got Joe Swan to sell us about a dozen different vintages of his 70s wines that were all spectacular. And like I was enjoying Mary's 77, I was also this year enjoying Joe Swan's 72, 3, and 4, and 5, and 6, and 7. And Dan, you remember the 1990, I had a bottle of that a couple of weeks ago.
So did I. Out of Magnum with Rod Berglund, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Still a wonderful wine.
Well, this has been heartfelt and meaningful and beautiful that you should bring this historical perspective to us this morning on this celebration tribute of John Ash and how he interacted and overlapped it with you, Don, and how important he was to you and you to him and his growth. And, of course, Kay, your wife of 56 years, how instrumental she was in this journey that all of you experienced over those just beautiful years. So thank you so much for participating this morning, Don. It's been great.
Our pleasure.
Nice to hear your voice.
And best to Kay. Best to Kay.
And thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll take a break. We'll be right back, and we'll welcome another winemaker who was extremely pivotal in the growth of John Ash during those years in 1990. I'm Steve Garner with our special tribute, hour number two, to Chef John Ash and his involvement in and love of the world of wine.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO, on FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and Windsor, and now at 96.9 in Petaluma.
Agricultural community farmers markets bring you fresh produce, meat, and dairy each week year-round.
In Petaluma, visit the Eastside Market at Lucchese Park Tuesdays 10 to 1:30 and Walnut Park Saturdays 2 to 5. Pick up fresh local meats from Betha Springs Ranch or Rancho Villa and cheeses from Acadena Cheese. See the colorful array of seasonal vegetables from Ortiz Family Farm, Tole Valley, Matt's Friends and Family, and Rise Up Farm. Need a treat or a boost? Cool drinks include iced coffee from Myriad Coffee and iced tea from Tea and Trumpets. Pick up fresh baked goods from Redbird, Bedstone Bakery, Revolution Bread, The Baker E, and Hillsburg Bagel Company. And of course, cool down with creamy Strauss Family Farm ice cream. Hungry? Try Tacos Don Pepe, Bai Tai Boba Tea, and Belfair's award-winning chicken sandwich with vegan options, too. You'll also find fresh honey, handmade candles, local jewelry, and artisan crafts.
Info online at ilovefarmersmarkets.org.
Simpson Sheet Metal is helping local kids become million-word readers through Read on Sonoma. 85% of students met their reading goal this year, nearly double from 3 years ago. Our students read more than 591 million words, more than twice the national average. A special shout-out to Kenwood Elementary, the first school where all students met their reading goal. Congratulations and keep up the good work. Here's Barbie Simpson, owner of Simpson Sheet Metal.
One of the things I cherish most in my life is my grandkids. Spending time with them gives me such great joy. As they've grown, I've seen their reading skills and comprehension increase, along with their interest in the world around them. Being a grandparent is one of the greatest joys of my life.
Children who learn to read at grade level by third grade are more likely to graduate from high school and overall do better in life. Simpson Sheet Metal and Read on Sonoma, dedicated to improving children's lives in Sonoma County. ReadOnSonoma.org.
North Bay employers, time is running out. The North Bay Job Fair is Monday, September 16th at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. And great news, early bird pricing has been extended, but not for long. You can meet hundreds of ready-to-work candidates in one day. Save money, fill positions faster, and get your company in front of the North Bay's best talent. Spots are disappearing fast. Lock in yours right now at northbayjobfair.com. That's northbayjobfair.com. Don't wait, register today.
At SoCo Private Security, we're all about protecting who you are. As the only provider of 24/7 smart patrol services in Sonoma County, we deliver affordable protection that keeps your buildings, tenants, and business safe day and night. Smart patrol costs less than an on-site officer and includes on-call response whenever you need it. Locally owned and trusted in Santa Rosa, we're here to watch over what matters most. Find out more at SoCoPrivateSecurity.com. SoCo Private Security, the new breed in security.
I'm KSRO's Jeff Woodworth with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Following a fairly foggy morning, a cooling trend begins as mostly sunny skies should give us daytime highs in the high 70s and low 80s. Later in the evening, we can look to more fog to leave us with overnight lows in the mid-50s. This current cooling trend is expected to run throughout next week. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9 KSRO.
Welcome into the KSRO kitchen. If you're just joining us, I'm Steve Garner, and we're in the middle of a beautiful conversation about the wines that influenced Chef John Ash. It's a tribute and a celebration of John Ash's involvement in the wine industry. Last week, last Saturday, I did a tribute, part one, his involvement in the culinary portion of his career. Joining me in the KSRO kitchen this morning are Mary Edwards and Dan Costa, who worked with John 40 to 50 years developing wine, doing wine and food dinners. And our next guest, I should preface this with saying, we had wonderful 20 minutes with Kate Fry, who was so instrumental in establishing and sustaining the Fetzer Valley Oaks Food and Wine Center's gardens that encompassed 20 acres eventually. Six of those almost were culinary gardens that John Ash had an opportunity to frolic in for about 10 years. And Kate, of course, is just a very inspiring and uplifting presence. And so it was wonderful having her as a guest on Garden Talk. We now welcome Jim Fetzer. And I think the name speaks to who he is and how instrumental he was in establishing this new concept. Jim, thanks for joining me, Mary, and Dan. Hi.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We are doing very, very well. Would you talk about those early days in the 1980s of what inspired you and to move forward with this really radical new concept of planting these gardens, organic gardens, eventually biodynamic, sustainable, terms that really were very little known and thought about at that early stage. Although I remember that Fry was doing some organic wines back in those days, but on a much smaller scale. Fetzer was already a pretty large concern, and to take this leap of faith into this new venue, how did that all come around?
Well, it kind of started in the mid-80s when, you know, as we would travel around the country working with the chefs and restaurants and hotels and caterers, and we found out that, you know, their main interest was more food and not the wine. You know, there was interest in wine, obviously, but their backgrounds were food. So we took our marketing dollars and came up with this concept that we would learn more about food and wine and how they go together. And we'd start that in the garden. And I remember in the early days, my brother Bob and I, we'd go up to the gardens up in Covelo where Spratty Fry and Katrina Fry were working with Alan Chadwick. And they were doing biointensive gardening, so kind of like a biodynamic, a blend of that and organic. And so we were inspired with that. And then over the years, I decided that we should take our marketing dollars and really focus it. Before we, you know, you sell 10 cases, we'll give you an umbrella or a big bottle of wine. It's kind of scattered. So we focused on food and wine. And we had this property we had just purchased, the Valley Oaks Ranch in Hopland. And it had a set of beautiful buildings that were in a Pennsylvania Dutch style architecture. So we decided to take that property, convert the buildings to educational tasting and accommodations. And then off to the side of it, we took about 15 acres and converted this kitchen garden. Actually, it was about 6 acres of the 15. The rest was landscaped. But the idea was to grow what we'd eventually grow over 1,000 varieties of fruits, vegetables, herbs, and edible flowers. And then we built a demonstration kitchen right off to the side over a lake with a mirror for demonstration, cooking, all that. And we had a restaurant, Sundial Grill in Hopland. We took the produce and took that to serve the public. And so that's how kind of it grew. But what we needed to do was, number one, teach our salespeople how more about food so they could sell wine. And their first impression was, what are you guys doing, man? You've been smoking too much of that Mendocino wacky tobacco. And they had no idea what we were trying to do. But over the years, you know, as we started doing it, we started getting a lot of press. You know, we were in Mendocino County, and your other guests are in Sonoma. And, you know, when we invited people to the up to see our property, I mean, they could see all the shiny stainless steel tanks they wanted to see in Napa. They could see all the barrels down in Napa or Sonoma. So if we wanted to get people up to our place, we needed to attract them in a different way. And with the food and wine, it was a way that we attracted the people we wanted up there, chefs for catering, hotels, restaurants. That's where we wanted to sell more wine. And so as we got this built, Michael Maltus was our head gardener, and then Kate worked under Michael. But Michael was an incredible human being, and he had that same style. He had studied biodynamics and organic, so he did that bio-intensive style of gardening. And Kate was a great, you know, backup for him. And then we needed a chef. We needed somebody to really take all that stuff and present it to the public in the trade. And so that's when I hired John Ash. He came in about, I think, 1988, somewhere around there. And he oversaw the restaurant. And then he worked part-time to begin with. And then by 1990, he was working full-time. We were traveling the country, spreading the gospel, food and wine. And we put programs together for hotels like Hyatt, Sheraton, Marriott, you know, all the big ones, Omni. And we would bring the executive chefs and the general managers up for a four-day educational concept where the first day they'd learn about growing grapes, the second day they'd work in the winery, learn how to make wine and do the blend, the third day they'd work in the garden with Michael and Kate, tasting different varieties and learning how we grow, and then the final day they worked with John Ash in the kitchen developing food and wine recipes, you know, things that would complement or contrast. So he was very instrumental in, you know, growing the sales. And during that same time, we learned more about organic and biodynamic farming. So we took all of our vineyards. We ended up growing about 1,200 acres vineyards organically. I think we were the largest ones in the state at that time. And then we sold the winery in 1992. So John stayed on for quite a while after that.
Yeah, he stayed so on until stayed on till about,
you know, how it
well,
happened.
He sold to Brown Foreman, and then John stayed on until, I think, 2000, another 7-8 years.
Yeah. But John was an incredible guy. I mean, you know, he was a gentleman. You know, he had so much passion. And you could, if you knew John, you could actually read him through his eyes, his expressions. And, I mean, he was just amazing.
How did John Ash come to your attention? When you started this search, did you interview other chefs before hiring John?
We did, but John was kind of the wine country chef. You know, he was in Santa Rosa, and he was doing a lot of the from the earth to the table kind of before that concept. Mm-hmm. And so he came to mind, and we went after him, and he was interested, and so we put it together.
Boy, what a magnificent confluence of people that came together at Fetzer. I remember from the early years when John started the show in 1987, and he was thinking about a change, maybe moving out of the restaurant into something with a larger, which a larger scale. And that's when he first started talking to me about there's this Fetzer Vineyards up in Hopland and maybe something happening with that in the future. And sure enough, turned into something. I remember a lot of the events that we broadcast, the show from Hopland. We had Julia Child on the show when she came out to visit. Do you remember when Julia visited?
Yeah, we had her up twice. Yeah. When, first time she came up, there's a guy working with us, Ken Beck. He had this old pickup with a rack on the back, and she needed tennis shoes. So they jumped in the pickup, went to Ukiah, and they went shopping for tennis shoes. she was amazing.
That's a good story, Jim.
And then, yeah, but Steve, you know, like I said before, man, we attracted every chef in America, any good chef, with the garden. They came up, they wanted to see it, they wanted to be part of it. And we used all that in our marketing concept. And I mean, it took us, we were growing about 20% compound growth a year.
Wow. Whoa, that's impressive.
So, you know, we had to have good wine. My dad always said, anybody can make good wine, but then you got to sell it.
Dan,
that is the truth. Yeah, I mean, that is if you look at the wine industry right now, that is one of the things that people don't get. It's like, wow, we really want to make great wine, and what do we do with it? We got to sell it. Oh, yep. We got to sell it. Yeah,
yeah. Amen. Those events that you had at the Fetzer Food and Wine Center, including Emeril Lagasse, some of those type of chefs, which were such a joy when he came up. His eyes were like saucers when he was walking around the gardens.
I think it's important to remember that most winemakers love food and love to cook. I mean, you really don't find very many passionate winemakers who aren't also chefs in their own right. And I think that was really important to me. And also the whole gardening thing. I mean, I still have a huge garden. I can't figure out how to make it smaller. I don't know how. But those all go together to me, gardening and cooking and wine, it's all part of the whole program.
John was the first person to tell me that wine is food.
That wine is food. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much how he looked at it, too.
Yeah.
And one event I remember, Jim, really like it was yesterday, was the celebration of American regional cuisine back in, I think it was 1990, when all of these chefs and people came out and were camping in tents on that Hopland property.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you remember that event, Jim?
Yeah. We would interview, you remember Sid Goldstein?
Sure, yes.
Yeah, Sid was a marketing guy. And so we'd go out to do regional cuisines, pick three chefs, and they would come up and create a menu. Then we would use that in a brochure in the retail market, like Safeway, in those stores with big case stacks. So it all tied together, you know. It really helped us in our marketing. Because we had a focus, you know, rather than just shotgunning approach.
Yeah. Yeah, that garden really brought everyone together, and it brought John Ash such satisfaction during that decade. We did so many shows with not only at the winery, but also John bringing in ideas and new thoughts about new products and produce that Kate was growing during that time and things that he was so excited about. His enthusiasm and his exuberance during that decade were really inspiring. Thank you, Jim Fetzer, for shedding some light on those early years with John Ash.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks.
Our pleasure having you on the show. We'll take a break. Be back with another instrumental guiding force in John Ash's wine development. In the Chaos Arto kitchen with me are Mary Edwards and Dan Costa, esteemed, well-known winemakers in their own right. I'm Steve Garner, and we'll be right back after this with another terrific guest.
Beat the heat with more home services during our summer of savings. Call now for a special financing deal with zero payments and zero interest for 12 months on all new equipment purchases. Thinking about a new AC system or an energy-efficient heat pump? Upgrade your home comfort today and lower your energy bills, keeping you cool and your wallet happy. As the North Bay's preferred professionals for over 15 years, call more when you need fast service from a team of experts that gets the job done right the first time. Visit morehomeservices.com today for zero payments and zero interest for 12 months on a new AC system. this summer of savings won't last forever. Schedule your free estimate today. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
We do more to treat you right. More home services.
Hi, it's Dennis from the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market at Luther Burbank Center. I'd like to talk a bit about our market. Sure, we have great coffee, crepes, salsa, sausage, fruits, veggies, crafts, and much, much more. But to me, it's what you can't buy that makes the market special, and that's the people. You may have heard me speak with Steve on Saturday mornings on Garden Talk about buying potatoes from Tom or mushrooms from Barbara, forgetting to mention their business names. This is due to the relationships developed with those who grow the food we eat, something you can't get at the big supermarket chains. The vendors are a great resource to help create the perfect meal for you and your family. Bring your kids, grab a bite and something to drink, and shop the farmers market voted the best farmers market in Sonoma County 2 years running in the Press Democrats Readers Poll. We've been doing this for 50 years. We must be doing something right. So come and visit us at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1.
At Paradise Pet Resort in Rohnert Park and Santa Rosa, your pets get more than just care. They get a vacation of their own. Dogs in daycare or boarding enjoy all-day play with no extra fees to join the fun. That's right, no hidden charges, just happy tails and wagging hearts. Our loving, attentive staff makes every pet feel at home, whether they're running in group play or relaxing on our radiant heated floors. Need grooming? We've got you covered with full-service grooming for dogs and cats. And it's not just pups. We offer small animal boarding, too, for your cats, birds, reptiles, bunnies, and more. Want to check in on your furry friend? No problem. Our live webcams let you watch the playtime from wherever you are. Stop by for a tour. We'd love to show you around. And remember, your first day of daycare is free. Choose Paradise Pet Resort, where your pets play, stay, and feel at home. Paradise Pet Resort, where tails wag and fun never ends.
Paradise Pet Resort.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner. Let's not waste any time. We have Mary Edwards, Dan Costa, and our final guest, John Buchenstein, who worked with to help develop a dream of John Ash's, and that was to have his kind of own winery, producing his own wines with the love of his life besides his family, and that was Sauvignon Blanc. John Buchenstein, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Our
Can
pleasure.
You hear me okay?
I'm sorry? Yes, we can hear you. Great.
Oh, good, good, good.
How did you...
I've caught some of your guests' comments, and they're just wonderful, spot on. I've been running around with grandkids at soccer games this morning, but here I am. Here
well,
I am planted.
You and John Ash and Paul Dolan and a couple of the people got this crazy idea, as John told me, to do this new wine concept of only doing Sauvignon Blanc, which was John's favorite varietal, but not just from California, but from around the world. How did John come into this project?
Well, John and Paul and a third individual, Tom Meyer, who's a restaurateur, but who worked for the organization at the time, did a lot of tastings themselves. And one of their favorite varietals to taste was Sauvignon Blanc. And they all agreed that not only was it among the most expressive white wines, but that it reflected the terroir. It reflected the places it was grown. So that combined with John's love of Sauvignon Blanc as a great food wine made them think of developing a brand which would show that expressiveness of Sauvignon Blanc from everywhere in the world where it was indeed expressive. So I got lassoed into the picture. I was the working stiff. I was the COO and my official title was Chief Explorer. So we started in the early 2000s, and we actually bought grapes, vinified, and brought our first Sauvignon Blanc from Russian River to the market under the 2003 vintage.
And so, then from there, what other countries did you explore
I was the lucky traveler. I was able to establish connections in New Zealand with a trade attaché who, New Zealand, they can only drink so much wine after they're finished drinking Guinness. So they need to export or die. That's basically their motto. So I went down there, and it was really lovely to partner with people down there and find not only a winemaking facility to partner with, but also a place to bottle. So that was our first overseas country to partner with. And then in the following year, I went down and established connections in South Africa in the Stellenbosch area. We'd all tasted Sauvignon Blanc from there, and South Africa was not known for a lot of things, at least not widely known. But Sauvignon Blanc really deserved a spotlight. So I went down there and partnered with a winery, Ubamira, which was up on the hills, about as high as you could get without running into undergrowth. and it was a sense for that region. It was high elevation Sauvignon Blanc, very, very expressive. Windswept right on the Cape, and just magnificent wine. And all of these places express their own unique flavor profiles. We didn't overlap at all. And then very quickly, the next two places we had our sights on were Friuli Zonzo in northeastern Italy, just north of Trieste, up in that area. And I actually went there and made contact and established a possible relationship with a winery there. And then the last one, we had actually several more. We were thinking of Sancerre Puy Fumé region in the Upper Loire. And so I went there, traveled around there, tasted everybody. And so that would have been our fifth. And then for our sixth, I think we were going to come back to California and look at another appellation. So at least we got three out of five, and the wines were all markedly different in flavor profile.
Yeah, the most expressive varietal, is it, Mary? I mean, that's what John had always said. It could be made in so many different styles.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was beautiful. Yeah. I know that that the project did not complete. Sauvignon Blanc, the Sauvignon Republic, eventually closed down. But I'll tell you, when John would bring in those bottles on the show, and we would taste these on the air, and his enthusiasm, oh my gosh, I'd had to turn off his microphone. He would just continue to talk about Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah, I had that problem with him too. Yeah.
Yeah. He loved his Sauvignon Blanc, and he owed so much a debt to you, John, for your enthusiasm. And of course, you've written a wonderful book that people should read. Your last name is spelled Buechsenstein. It's John Buechenstein. Look for his books. John is really well worth reading, and I can't tell you how much this means to have you on the show, to remember that big wine project that was John's dream in the start of the 2000s. So thanks for joining me. It was appreciated.
Thanks, Steve.
Good talking with you. Mary, Dan, it's been real.
What an honor. Thank you so much, Steve. This was so much fun.
Thank you for both joining me. I'll be back next week in the Chaos Auto Kitchen. I'm Steve Garner. Thanks for listening today.
This is Sonoma County's News Talk, K245DJ Petaluma, K278CD KSRO Santa Rosa.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Israel continues to deny anybody in Gaza is starving to death. Prime Minister Netanyahu calling a new report by a UN-backed group a lie that he says uses Hamas sources for its conclusions. The report says more than 500,000 people are facing catastrophic conditions of starvation, destitution, and death. The photo evidence of children who are skin and bones doesn't lie, says the executive director of the United Nations Relief Agency, Mara Kronenfeld.
We are seeing children facing acute malnutrition already over...